Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. To make a donation, please use the link to the left of this webpage. And thanks.
From the Jennifer and Ted Stanley Studios in Somerville, Massachusetts, this is Living on Earth. I'm Steve Kerwood. You probably have a favorite national park or two. Hopefully you took some pictures the last time you were there to help you remember what you saw, because experts are now telling us that many of our national parks not only provide habitat for endangered species, but themselves are endangered by global warming. The latest report comes from the National Parks Conservation Association. Mark Wensler is the director of clean air programs for the association. I spoke with him about a number of national parks, starting with the Everglades in Florida. There, billions of dollars have been dedicated to restoration, so I asked if that money will be wasted with rising sea levels.
If you have to single out one park that's most at risk, it's got to be the Everglades, because, in fact, close to a third of southern Florida could be underwater by the end of the century, and that would completely obliterate that ecosystem. I would say that it's not that the investments we're making now are not worth it, because they are shoring up the ecosystem, and they're going to help it withstand that sea level rise to a greater extent than it could have before. But certainly there's a tremendous amount of investment that's going to go to waste.
So we'll have some parks that looks like they're going to get too much salt water. There are other parks that I imagine will have drought, and maybe they'll have increased fire hazards. What are the risks that global warming poses for our parks in the Southwest? I'm thinking of the Saguaro National Park there in Arizona, or Joshua Tree.
Yeah, it's interesting to think that those parks, as hot as they are already, are going to suffer from additional heat, but they will, because the saguaro have adapted to live within a certain climate range, and other species are kept out by that range. And as that range changes, more species like invasive grasses will be able to move in. We see that happening now. And you really don't have anything in those ecosystems right now that burns. And in fact, there have been very few fires in those ecosystems. But as these invasive grasses move in, dry out, you're going to see increasing amounts of wildfires that put the saguaro at risk.
And the saguaro, of course, are those large cactuses that look like people standing with their arms and everything.
Exactly. Anybody who watched, Bugs Bunny in the 60s, probably seen a Roadrunner, seen a lot of saguaro cactus.
And what about Joshua Tree?
Joshua Tree is interesting. People often talk about we'll have to rename Glacier National Park because there won't be any glaciers. But, Joshua Tree, we may have to rename as well, because the trees are disappearing or are expected to disappear from the park by the end of the century. Those trees need a certain amount of cold weather to reproduce. I think it's about one or two nights below freezing each year that help them release their seeds and reproduce. And that's not going to be happening. They won't be getting down to those temperatures. Those trees won't be able to reproduce. Again, you'll have invasive grasses moving in to replace them. And certainly they'll exist to a lesser extent outside the park. But what's predicted is that within the boundaries of that Joshua Tree National Park, we may not have any Joshua trees.
So as these habitats change, what concerns do you have for plants and animals? Will they migrate north to Canada or go to a higher elevation, I would assume?
An interesting story is the grizzly bear at Yellowstone. People think of grizzly bear and think, well, what do they eat? Well, they, eat hikers or, what do they eat? Bear, moose, big things. But one of the most important food sources for grizzlies are pine nuts. And what's happening is that the White Park pine beetle is becoming more prevalent as warmer temperatures take over the park. And they're killing those trees. And this is sort of unintended consequences where, something happens and it changes something else. And all of a sudden the grizzlies don't have the food they need. And they'll need to move northward to find, those trees that have those pine nuts.
What are the other parks where you're particularly concerned about invasive species and or pests?
You look at a park like Great Smoky Mountains National Park in Tennessee, North Carolina, and that park has already been very heavily impacted by invasive species like the adelgid, which have almost wiped out the hemlock trees. Climate change and warming temperatures are just going to make those kinds of pests thrive, and so it looks like we won't be able to beat out the clock and save those trees, that the adelgids are going to take off. They're going to continue to decimate those forests.
Now, of course, when people think of global warming and national parks, what comes to mind almost immediately is ice, melting ice. How bad is the situation when it comes to our parks that have a fair amount of ice and snow in them?
Well, that's really bad. That's probably some of the most dramatic changes that you can see today. people sometimes ask me, well, where can I go see climate change? And one place you definitely can see it is at Glacier National Park, because you can go and see how extensive the glaciers were and how they've been reduced to almost nothing today. In fact, I think we've only got a few more decades before they're gone completely.
Now, Glacier, of course, is at risk. What are the other ones that come to mind?
You know, Glacier is the namesake park for glaciers, but there are actually more glaciers in places like the North Cascades in Washington State. You know, and that really affects the economies that have grown up around those parks. You know, mountaineering and winter sports and skiing are tremendously important activities that people like to go to those parks and do. And those glaciers are going to go away, and, you know, they're not going to come back.
This is all very gloomy here. What can we do specifically to help the parks?
Well, the parks are doing an interesting thing right now. The National Park Service, just about a year or two ago, began a small program called Climate Friendly Parks. So they're doing things like investing in clean transportation systems and putting solar panels on visitor centers, and not just doing that for their own sake, but also educating the public about what they can do at home. And it's a program that is growing. I think Glacier in Montana was one of the first, again, given what's at stake for that park. Zion down in Utah has some really innovative public transportation systems. Zion's also got, being in the desert southwest, extensive use of solar panels, which is really interesting. Glacier Bay is also part of the Climate Friendly Parks program. And, you know, one of the big pollution sources up there are cruise ships. And so Glacier Bay is working with the cruise industry to try to figure out how they can get them to reduce their emissions and protect the park. I guess if there's any silver lining in the story, it's that it's not too late to avoid some of the worst problems. And that's why we're trying to raise attention to this issue now. If we want to save these special places that tell the story of our nation, that are our shared natural history, we've got to act now.
Mark Wensler is director of the Clean Air Program for the National Parks Conservation Association and producer of their report, Unnatural Disaster, Global Warming and Our National Parks. Thanks so much, Mark.
You're welcome. Thank you.
To learn more about our national parks and climate change, go to our website, loe.org. You can also get the inside scoop from Mark Wensler about his favorite wild places, including some that most people don't know about.
This land was made for you and me.